Today's daf is Shkolim Daf Tes, and we are 7 lines from the top of Daf Tes Amid Aleph, Toni Yovish Kizayis, Divi Reb Nosson. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Rufu Shalem of Shlomo Ben Sarah Aliza and Avadi Ben Miriam Leah. Today's daf is being learned Ilu Nishmas Avram Ben Yibodel Chaim Toivim Reb Moshe Chaim. So we're moving along in Masechta Shkolim. The general topic is the halachos of Machzis HaShekel. However, we're in the midst of a digression. So the Mishnah had mentioned that when the Trumas HaLishka was done, when the Kohen went into the Lishka where the Shkolim was stored, he removed the Shkolim during each of the 3 withdrawals using 3 kupois. So there were 3 withdrawals. Each withdrawal was done with 3 kupois. Each kupa was Machzik Gimel Sa'im. The magic number is 3. It's for that reason, incidentally, when we do Machzis HaShekel nowadays, we use 3 half a dollars. It really, the Machzis HaShekel that we do is only a Zecher, Ben Menoshel Zecher, for the Machzis HaShekel that was done at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. The purpose of the Machzis HaShekel was to buy Karbonus Sibur. We have no Karbonus, we have no Karbonus Sibur, so really there's no reason to do Machzis HaShekel. Today, the Machzis HaShekel goes Taniyim. So obviously, it has nothing to do with the real Machzis HaShekel. Nervous, it's a Zecher. Similar to the way some Rishonim understand Sfiras HaOmer is a Zecher. We don't have a Karben Omer. We don't have a Shtei Alechem. We're not really counting the way they counted when there was a Beis HaMikdash. But once upon a time, it was a big deal. So now in Golus, we make a Zecher for what was once a very important mitzvah. Machzis HaShekel is a Zecher, period. It's not more than that. So why 3? A half a dollar should be enough. It's because 3 is the number that continuously repeats itself throughout the sugyas of Machzis HaShekel. It says 3 times in Parshas Truma, V'yikli Truma. It says 3 times, the Gemara said on that base, in Parshas Kisisa, the idea of Machzis HaShekel. 3 Trumas, 3 Kupas, each Kupa was Machzik, 3 Son. We'll see later in the Daf another symbolism of 3. But the point is, 3 is the magic number. So the Mishnah said that how much were these Kupas Machzik? Each one contained 3 Son. So the Gemara immediately digressed. The Gemara said that there's a Mishnah, Masechta Shabbos, that says that even though a person is not allowed to overly exert himself on Shabbos and Yontif, there's something called Tircha B'Shabbos, but for a mitzvah, Mepnei Ha'archim, the Bnei Bittel Beis Medrash, it's okay. How much are you allowed to be Matriach? So you're allowed to be Mafana, you're allowed to move 4 or 5 kupois. And Reb Zeira asked Reb Yoshia, he said, 4 or 5 kupois, how big are the kupois? You could start moving big furniture, or is it only small furniture? So Reb Yoshia said, I'll tell you the truth, Chazal didn't say, they just said kupois. But there's another Mishnah somewhere, where Chazal said halach about a kupa, and there they were Mefarish. They said the size of the kupa. It's in Masechta Shkolim, it's related to the Trumas HaLishka, no shaykhis to what we're discussing. But there, there was a Shir. Chazal said the kupa was 3 son. So if there they said it's 3 son, so presumably here it's 3 son as well. From there the Gemara digressed a little bit, and the Gemara said, I'll tell you another Mishnah, where the Mishnah said halacha, it was soysim. Reb Zeira asked Reb Yoshia, can you explain the Mishnah a little bit? Reb Yoshia said, I'll tell you the truth, I don't know based on this Mishnah, but somewhere else Chazal said something similar. Did they were Mefarish? What was that? The Mishnah was in the halachas of Hoitzah on Shabbos, where the din is 39th of the Lamentas Malachas is, you're not allowed to carry Mirshus Lushus, you're not allowed to carry Dalan Amis Mirshus Arabim. But Midday Raisa, from a pure Hilchah Shabbos perspective, it's only also if you carry a Dover Chashiv, and even then, only if you carry a sheer Chashiv of that Dover Chashiv. And that's why there's tens of daf in a Masechta Shabbos that deal with different line items. What's considered the sheer chashivos of this idea? So one of the things that the Mishnah discusses is a moitzi yayin. If somebody would carry wine on Shabbos, so kamuvan, he would violate the malacha vaitzah. The question is, how much wine? And the Mishnah says, kedei mezigas hakois, the amount of wine you would need to fill up a kois. So Reb Zeira asks Reb Yoshia, what's the size of the kois? So he says, Chazal didn't tell us the size of the kois. But there's another Braisa that talks about koisos, not perhaps coincidentally dalid koises, and over there we have a shear. A kois is a revius. So if it's a revius there, mistam, it's a revius here. So again, we digressed from our digression. We're mamish learning something that has no shaykhis to the ideas of Machzis HaShekel. But at this point, the Gemara is discussing the halachos of hoitzah on Shabbos, specifically hoitzah of yayin, which related to the digression of the Gemara. So today's daf picks up on that theme. The first part of today's daf, again, has nothing to do with Masechta Shkolim, but rather it's related to a completely unrelated, not such simple topic. Zok to Gemara. Tani, we learned in a Braisa, Yovish. If somebody would carry wine, that's dried up. So it became solid. The liquid turned into a solid on Shabbos. Now this is Yayin Chai. This is raw wine, not diluted wine. How much of it would he have to carry in order for him to violate the Malacha? Kizayis. Divrei Rav Nosson. Rav Nosson said the shear is going to be a kizayis. Sok the Gemara, Rabbanon, the Kisri, Rav Yosi, Bar Bibi, B'Shem Shmuel, Asi, the Rav Nosson, Kirab Shimon. So the Rabbanon said that this Halacha of Rav Nosson stems with Rav Shimon. Who's Rav Shimon? Come on, the Rav Shimon. Just like Rav Shimon said, Berevias, that the amount of Yayin Chai that you would have to carry if it was liquid is a Revias. Kain Amar Rav Nosson, Berevias. So Rav Nosson said that if it's in a solid state, it has to be in Revias. I, Rav Nosson, said Kezias. Yeah, because a Revias and a Kezias, unbeknownst, this gets overlooked sometimes, is really the same share. Because the Keshe Yikrash V'yehebay Kezias. If you take a Revias of liquid and you turn it into a solid, it's actually going to end up being a Kezias. So the Rabbanan said that when Rav Nosson said that if somebody carries Yayin Yovesh, the share is Kezias, you know what he was really saying? He was saying the share is a Revias. What's the cheshbon revius to kezayis? Because that's just the way it works scientifically. If you take a revius of liquid and you turn it into a solid, it's going to end up being a kezayis. So essentially what Rav Nosson is saying is the sheer hoitzah of undiluted wine is a revius. That's not like the shear that the Gemara discussed on the Avches Amid Beis. When the Gemara introduced what the shear is, so the Gemara said, Kedei Mezigas HaKois, which is a quarter of a revius, because the way wine was made was it was diluted with water, and the ratio was 1/4 wine, 3/4 water. If it's kedei mezigas akois and akois is a revius, so yayin chai, the pure undiluted wine, would be a roiva of a revius. And the Gemara said on Daf Ches Amid Beis, just bringing it all together, hamani Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. What the Gemara is saying now is that this halacha of Rav Nosson is not Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the shear of yayin chai in a liquid is a roiva of a revius, it's a quarter of a revius, which would then mean in a solid, it would be a quarter of a kezayis. If Rav Nosson said it's a kezayis, that means he holds not like Rabbi Yehuda. Who is he referring to? So this is a shita that's mentioned more prominently in Masechet Shabbos. It's shita's Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon holds that Yayin Chai is not a roiv or a revius. It's a revius. If it's a revius in a liquid, it's a kezayis in a solid. That's what the Rabbanon was saying. That this Rav Nosson doesn't shtim with Rabbi Yehuda. It shtims with Rav Shimon. Zokta Gemara. On the topic of a revius of liquid being the equivalent of a kezias of solid. So we continue to digress. Rab Simon b'shem Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rab Simon said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Maisa, there was a story b'fir das Rebbe, Shemesa. Rebbe had a mule. Rebbe was a great gevir. He had more than one mule. But this mule died. V'tiaru as dama mishum nevela. And they said that the dam of the mule, even though it came from a nevela, came from this dead animal, the halach is, it's going to be tar. You don't have to worry about nevela. So the introduction to the next part of the daf is short. And that is that we're all familiar with a nevela. What's a nevela? That's an animal that's dead, but it wasn't geshachten. So it didn't die through the medium of shchita. It was shot with a bullet, somebody cut it with a knife, but it didn't have a kosher shchita. Anytime an animal dies not with a kosher shchita, it's a nevela. A nevela is also bachila. That's why you can't eat meat unless it had a kosher shchita. That's kashrus 101. Nevela, however, straddles two areas in halacha. Because in addition to a nevela being also bachila, machalis asuros, nevela is also tame. A nevela is an avhatoma. Just like a mace, a human corpse is an avatoma, a dead animal is also an avatoma. So within the world of avoy satoma, mace, tome mace, zav, zava, nida, sheretz, a nevela is an avatoma. In contrast to a trefa, which is aser ba'achila, but a trefa, assuming it had a kosher shchita, is not going to be tome. That's the big difference when you learn Masechta Tzchulin between a nevela and a trefa. In the world of Macholis Asuras, nevela and trefa are interchangeable. They're synonymous. You can't eat either one. There's malchus for either one. But in terms of Hilchus Toma, there's a huge nafkemina. A nevela is an avatoma. A trefa is not tome. Now, nevela is tame, but you don't have to have the whole nevela. You don't have to have the whole animal. A kezayis baser of a nevela, just like a kezayis baser of a mace, is also an avatoma. The discussion of the next part of the daf is what about dam? The blood of a nevela. So you don't have the nevela. You don't have any baser of the nevela. All you have is dam. You have a shear. Shir Chashev would be a revius. So you have a revius now of dam of a nevela. Is it mitame or is it not mitame? You can't eat it. You can never eat dam, and it's part of a nevela. So we're not discussing eating it. What we're discussing is tuma. This chiddush that nevela is also tame, a parish in the Torah. It doesn't require the ganze nevela. So a kizayis spasa for sure would be enough. The question is, what about dam? So this was a real story that happened. There was a maisa with the mule of Rebbe. It died, and they were metaher. Whoever was there said that the dam is fine. Don't worry about nevela. Rabbi Simon heard Rabbi Simon say this over. So Rabbi Simon said this in the name of Rabbi Shua ben Levi. The name is not going to matter. So in the name of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Rabbi Simon says this halacha. They were matayr the dam. So Rabbi Loza was there. So he asked Rabbi Simon, ad kamo, meaning they said that the dam is always going to be tahar, meaning it doesn't matter how much dam there is. Dam of an avail has no ability to be matamo. Or was the reason they were matayr the dam is because it was less than a shear. It was less than a revius, maybe. And because it was pachas mikashir, that's where they were matar. So the Gemara says, Loyashkechbe. Rabbi Simon ignored Rabbi Elazar. He made believe he wasn't even talking to him. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Elazar said he wasn't getting anywhere with Rabbi Simon. Rabbi Simon had said it over in the name of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. So he went to the Makar, he went to the source. He goes straight to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Shalom, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. So he said, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, tell me, I heard this Rabbi Simon said over the Salacha, but he said over a halba maisa. Pun intended, right? He said over half the story. He said they were matayr the dam, but I don't know. Were they matayr it because they held it's not a source of tumah? Were they matayr it because they held that it was pachas mikashir? So Rabbi Shimon ben Levi told him, Amalei ad revius tar. No, they were only matayr it because it was less than revius. But yoisim revius tamei. The Gemara says, Ubash l'Rabbi Lazar adalei achselei l'Rabbi Simon shmuasa. And Rabbi Lazar had a little bit of a grudge. He was upset at Rabbi Simon. How could Rabbi Simon wouldn't answer him the question? And he thought he asked a very valid question. Tutstadim had to understand the story. Rabbi Simon ignored him. He goes to Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, gave him a nice answer. So he was a little bosh. He was a little upset at Rabbi Simon. The Gemara says, Rabbi have a Yosef, Masni Adain Uvdi. Rabbi was once telling over this story as well. The same Maisa, Rabbi had a mule, the mule died, they were Matar the dam. Amalei Rabbi Yitzchok bar Bisnos. Rabbi Yitzchok bar Bisnos was there and he told him, Ad Revi is Tor, Yosef, Mikan Tomei. He asked him the same question. Were they Matar the dam completely? They said, because the dam of an avail was not Tomei. Were they only Matar because it was less than a shear? So the Gemara says, Rabbi did better. He didn't ignore Rabbi Yitzchok bar Bisnos, but Ubat Be. Now, usually, means he hit him or he kicked him. So the Takan Chazan says, he didn't kick him, he didn't use physical force, but at the same time, he mached him avek, as if he didn't just ignore him, he actually did something to show him that he wasn't pleased with his question. Amalei Rab Zreika. So Rab Zreika witnessed all this. So he turns to Rabibi and he says, begin the shalach at Batbe. I understand. He asks you a question. It's a legitimate question. Why are you treating him with covet? Answer him respectfully. Amalei, so he told him, no, you're right. I apologize. I take it back. What I did was wrong, but let me explain myself. He said, I'm going through a very hard time in life. This is what he's about to tell him. And he said, it's because of that I reacted the way I did. Begin to lay, have his daiti be but itnave. My mind is not in a good place. And that's why I didn't respond in the right way. The Amar Rab Chanan, because Rab Chanan said, he explained it with a whole shtickle Torah. The Pasuk says, V'hayu chayecha tluim l'cha mineged. And the Pasuk says, U'bachadeto layla v'yoyma v'loy samim b'chayecha. This is a Pasuk in the Teichecha. So whatever exactly this Pasuk means is a little hard. The Gemara will say a little bit of a drush in it. But one thing is clear, it's in the Teichecha. This is not good things. So Rav Bibi started telling him, he says, unfortunately, he says, I'm living through this Pasuk right now. So what does the Pasuk mean? The first part of the Pasuk, this is someone who doesn't own a field. As a result, in order for him to live, he has to buy chitim. And he's now vulnerable to sellers and the prices and the commodity fluctuations. So a person that owns a field, he always has food. But if someone that doesn't own a field, he has to come out to other people. So it's referring to someone that has money to buy chitim for a shana. He can put down money to buy a year's worth of food. But it's still a pasuk in the Teichecha because he's still totally in other factors. This is someone that can't even buy a whole year's worth. He has to come out to other people. But he has to buy a little bit at a time. That's the worst. This is someone that has to come out to the baker every single day. He pushes has enough money for that day. But he literally doesn't have more than one day's worth of burn rate. That's what he has. And as a result, this person's, you know, he has a little bit of an issue. So Rabibi said, Va'ano, and me, so michna palter. I have to come out to the palter. He says, I'm living that chelik of the teichecha. And he says, I apologize, I did the wrong thing, but, you know, be Michael. This is where I'm coming from. So a little bit of drama related to a very technical halacha. What's the technical halacha? A nevela, in addition to being asav achilas, also metama. A kizayis basav and nevela's metama. What about dam? So there was a maisa shayikachai. Rebbe had a mule. The mule died. It became an nevela, and they were metired the dam. And there was a shayla. What exactly happened in this story? did they say the dam is tar because dam of an avail does not have the ability to be matama, or was it pasha less than a revius? And because it was less than a revius, that's why that was the halacha. So the Gemara says, Mau kadoin. Okay, tachlis, what's the halacha? Hey, Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira, that's the right girsa, al dam nevela, shua tar. Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira said that dam nevela is tahar, mahu tar. So the Gemara says, I don't know if that's right. I mean, what does it sound like he's saying? It's tar, done. It's never matam. It doesn't say anything about a shear. He said it's tar, but the Gemara says, I don't know if it is right. Because maybe what tar means is tar milahachshir. Avalatama is matama. So we know that in order for food to become tameh, it has to first be mukhshir lekabel tameh. What does it mean, mukhshir lekabel tameh? There's a whole mesechta in Shas called mesechtas machshirin that discusses this. Basically, it has to become wet first. You have to be okay with the fact, the owner of the food, that it's wet, and then a sheretz, it falls on it or comes in contact with tumah. That's when the laws of tumah apply. A mashka is machsher. So the Gemara is doicha. The Gemara says maybe Rabbi Shua ben Beseir's edus was that dam nevela is tar, that the dam of a nevela, even though it's a liquid, can't be machsher l'tumah. But maybe really it is tumah. So you have no raya from it. Maybe dam nevela is a has Tumas Nevela. Just like Basar ben Nevela has Tumas Nevela. Vos meant Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseir, Adam Nevela Shua Tar, he meant that it's not Machshel with the Kabbal Tumas. The Gemara says, I have a problem, because Taman Tanin, we learned in the Mishnah, Mesechtes Machshirim, Dam HaSheretz, Kib Sar. The Dam of HaSheretz is like the Basar of HaSheretz. What does it mean? The Mishnah explains, Metam HaBein HaMachshel. It's Tomei. The Basar of HaSheretz is Tomei. Sheretz is a classic example of an Avatomo. So the Dam of it is also Tomei. V'ein HaMachshel. Basar is not Machshel with Kabbal Tumas. Only liquids are Machshel with Kabbal Tumas. So of course Basar is not Machshel with Kabbal Tumas. So to the Dam is not fine. The ain lanu kayoytzabai. Now the mission is we don't have another example of such a mitzias. We have dam, it's metame, but it's not machsher. It's a source of tuma, but it doesn't have the ability to be machsher. Now, if you're going to tell me the Rabbi Shulman Seir, when he said dam nevelu shutar, he meant that really it's tame. What does tar mean? It means that it's not machsher. So now you have another example of something that's tame, but at the same time, it's any machsher. Just like dam sheretz is tame and it's not machsher, here you have another example. So the Gemara says that can't be pshat. So the Gemara says, no, what it means is kishir tumasoi avol domei metame b'kibsoi. Maybe when the Mishnah says mesechtes machshirim, dam sheretz is unique, that ve'ein lanu kayoytzeboi, it wasn't referring to ein metame v'ein machsher. It could be dam nevelos also metame v'ein machsher. What it was referring to was dam sheretz kibsoi, meaning that the sheer tumah of the dam is like the sheer tumah of the sheretz. Sheretz has a unique sheer of tumah. The sheer tumah is kadasha, a lentil. Whereas usually basar is metama b'kizayis. So we're saying the chiddush over here is that dam hasheretz kipsari ve'en lanu kayoytzeboy as it relates to the sheer, but maybe not as it relates to the metama v'en machsher, as it pertains to metama v'en machsher. Could be it's not unique to dam hasheretz. Could be it's true for dam nevela as well. Just one more point on this topic, and then the Gemara is going to move on to a whole nother noisei. I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, "Pligi b'tre amayram." There were two amayram that argued with regards to this shaila. Chadama one said tamei that dam of nevela is tamei as long as you have the shear. Chadama one said tar. No, it's always going to be tar. Doesn't matter what the shear is. Mandama tamei, the one that said tamei, Rabbi Yehuda. He was going like Rabbi Yehuda. Mandama tar, the one that said tar, Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira. He was going like Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira. So who is Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira? He's the one that said dam nevela shutar. So meaning that tahar legamri and the man do amah, this amoira that held that halach is tar, he was going like this Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira. The man do amah that said tame was going like Rabbi Yehuda. Who's this Rabbi Yehuda? Says Zokti Gemara. Amalei Rabbi Avduma de min nechaisa. Rabbi Avduma who came from the nechaisa said viyaos. No, I know who this Rabbi Yehuda is. You know who Rabbi Yehuda is? This is Rabbi Yehuda with the Maisa with Rabbi's mule. Rabbi's mule died. And they were Metahar. But they were only Metahar. What was the story Rabbi Shulban Levi said? Up to a Revius. But Yosem Revius, they said Tomei. That means Dam Nevela really is Tomei. What does that have to do with Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda Maryana de Benasiya Hava. Because Rabbi Yehuda, he was the Meirah Hira in the Beis Tanasi. He must have been the one that Paskin. So that's the Rabbi Yehuda that this Tana, this Amira was referring to when he said Dam is going to be Tomei. Bottom line is, the first part of today's daf discussed something completely unrelated to Shkolim. It discussed a very, very obscure halacha. Halacha in Hilchas Tumah V'Taira. Halacha that's discussed in Mishnayis and Tairis. Halacha that's discussed in Masechtas Chulin. And that is Nevela, in addition to being Aser B'Achila, is also an Av HaTumah. You can't eat an if you come in contact with an Nevela, you become Tomei. A Kizayis Bas of an Nevela, you also become Tomei. What about Dam of an Nevela? Would you be Tomei or would you not be Tomei? At the end of the day, in the final analysis, Pleadigi Batrei Namayram. It was a Machloikas Namayram. One said Tomei as long as it's a Revius. The other one said Tahar. even if it's going to be a revius. The one that's a tameh was going alibid Rabbi Yehuda, that's the maisa with the mule of Rabbi. The one that's a tar was going like the Mishnah, heyed Rabbi Yeshua ben Meseira al dam nevelo shahu tar. So going back to the Mishnah for a moment, the halacha related to machza shekel. Mishnah said that the person that went into the lishka to take out the shkolim, so this person had to do it in a way when nobody was going to be chayshim. Nobody would suspect that maybe he stole any money. So there were a lot of halachas. Number one, he had to make sure there were no hems in his clothing, because you could always unstitch your hem, put a few shekels inside, and then sew it back together. He couldn't even be wearing tefillin, because we were afraid that he may unsew the batim, put a little money inside, and walk out with it. In other words, this person had a bullseye on him. In fact, the Mishnah says that if this Yid, after he had the shtela to go psicha on the Trumas Halishka, if they found that lady became a gviz, of course he's a gviz, he walked over all the money. And if he would become an Araman, they would like to be chayshin him. Right? Either way, this person was in trouble. So regardless, the Mishnah said, this is a problem. And why is it an issue? Because the pasuk that says, V'yisem nekiyim Hashem Yisrael, a Yid has to be sure that not only does he look good in the eyes of Hashem, but he has to look good in the eyes of people as well. Tony Rabbi Shmuel said, more on this side, they have kavod. Someone that had long hair, lo yitron, he can't do Trumas Halishka, they're going to say that he's smuggling out money in his hair. Tony, the gizbarim, after they would come out from the Trumas Halishka, they would have to like literally pull out threads of wool from their clothing to show people that they didn't hide any money inside their clothing. Tony, they used to talk to him the whole time. Why they talked to him? They didn't want him to put money in his mouth so like he could swallow the money, right? Like the Yidden did when they left the war, they, you know, during the Holocaust. So they didn't want people exactly to, you know, take the schayra. So literally, so they didn't want people to start swallowing diamonds. So they had to make sure that they would mamish talk. Why are you talking to him the whole time? Why don't you make the person go in with his mouth filled with water? I mean, we're literally going to great lengths over here. So the Gemara says a good question. He had to make a bracha. He had to say he's doing a truma. This is a fresh truma, right? It's called truma. So because of that, the truma component, that's why I couldn't do it. There's a right in the Torah, there's a right in the Vim, there's a right in Ksuvim, that a person has to be sensitive to what people think about him. But how do you know in the Torah, it's a pasuk in the Torah. You have to care about what people think. It's not enough to be noisachem be'enei likim. You have to be noisachem be'enei adam as well. Gamliel Zuga Shal Rabbi Yossi Bar Bun. These are real Yerushalmi names. Gamliel Zuga asked Rabbi Yossi Bar Rabun. He said, Ezo amachover, from all three of these psukim, which is the best pasuk? Shebekulon amaleis. He told him, Yisim nikim ma'ashem amisro. That's the pasuk that the Mishnah quoted. One of the two psukim. Either way, this is the best pasuk. We speak out a lot that the Chassam Sofer in a tshuva in Chelek Vav. So he talks about this idea of v'yisim nekiyim mi'Hashem u'mi'Yisrael, and he says that it's much easier for a person to be naki in the eyes of Hashem than it is to be naki in the eyes of people. He says Hashem knows the truth. Hashem is dan us in the proper way. So if a person's heart is in the right place, he could be naki be'enei likim. He says, but to be naki be'enei adam, he said, that's very, very hard. He says, because people naturally are judgmental, and as a result, people are dan lekaf choifa, and he says, it's very hard. And he said, not just that, he says, the more choshev a person is, the more people are out looking to get you. They're lurking. Because he says, it's margul b'pumi d'inshi. Everybody loves to find an opportunity to say, ah, you think he's so chashiv? I once saw him do this. I once heard him say that. And it's just human nature, unfortunately. That's the way it is. It's the human frailties that people are always looking to put other people down. And said the Chassam Sofer, to be naki b'enei likim, that's very meglach. But b'enei adam, that's much harder. And then he says, he's thought about this a lot. And he says, he's not even sure if it's shayach. He says, I've thought about it. He says, I don't know if it's humanly possible for a person to be mekayim this mitzvah properly, v'yisim nikim me'Hashem v'Yisrael. And then he fears us with a punchline. He says, maybe that's what Shlomo HaMelech meant when he said, ki ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yechta. That's what he meant. He said, it's impossible. It's a mitzvah, a chayev adam. A person has an obligation to be naki be'enei adam. And ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaaseh tov lo yachta, you cannot live your life and balance every single move you make, that there's never going to be a person that's going to judge you in a way where you're not going to be be'enav. He says, maybe that's what Shlomo Amar. He didn't mean that a person can't make it through life without eating the veil. What he meant to say was, to make it through life and not be mekayim v'yisim ne'akim me'ashem v'yisrael. This is what he said regarding this halacha. So we return to our regular program, albeit briefly. The halachas of machzis hashekels. Again, all the shkolim, as they arrived, they went into a lishka. Now, the shkolim used to arrive piecemeal. They don't come in one shot because they're coming from all over the world. So what they would do is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they would take, that was the first truma, all the shkolim that were there, and they would make a withdrawal. What was the withdrawal? Three kupais, they would fill it up with three son, and they would take it. What if there was leftovers? What if there was more than that? What if so much money, business is booming, so much money came in that you couldn't remove everything from the vault in only three son? So what did they do? They would leave it there. They would leave it there. And that money became, as we'll see in the Mishnah, shirayim. So just like in Kachem, there's halacha that the kohen did the zrika, and any leftover dam was shiarei hadam. Separate Shulchan Aruch, how you treat the Shirayim. The Shirayim was treated separately. The Mishnah is coming up in the Masechta that's going to talk about what the use of proceeds for the Shirayim was. But it wasn't Karbanos Tzibur, because it got a din Shirayim. Either way, they would make this withdrawal, then they would go back a second time, 15 days before Shavuos, and then 15 days before Sukkot. But the second and the third withdrawal was from the monies that arrived later. So it's not the pshat, all the money came, and we're going to make three withdrawals from the initial money that came in. Money came in, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that's the date of the first withdrawal. Take out three kupais, use it to buy Karbanos Tzibur. Any money that's left over is going to stay there. More money is going to come. The second withdrawal is going to be from that additional money. And then more money is going to come after that. The third withdrawal is going to be from that. Good, that's what we're going to discuss now. It says, Dr. Mishnah, first things first. Shal beis Rabbi Gamliel hoya nichnas v'shikloi bein etzba oisav. The family of Rabbi Gamliel, they had protectia. Obviously, they were the Nesim. So they had a little bit of an in. So they were in touch with the Gizbar, the person that was going to make the withdrawal. And they used to ask the Gizbar, tell me, when are you making the first withdrawal? He says, oh, you know, this is around this time. They would come with their shekels and they would put it in mamish right before the withdrawal. The reason was, like this, the first money that came out was Rabbi Gamliel's money. So the Ersht Karbanos Tzibur that were going to be bought was going to be used. This is a kibbutz, you know, you can fakayf it for a few shekels. But the first monies that was going to be used was going to be their shkolim. And this is what they used the time. So they would come in with the shekel between their fingers. Uzarka lefnei atayrim. They would throw it, mamish, the Torah is about to make the bracha. Everything they would throw right in front of him. It's like this, the first money that was used was this. So the Torah wasn't allowed to do the truma until there were kayanim standing there, and he would turn to the kayanim, he would say, Etroim, should I do the truma? Vein oimrim loy, troim, troim, troim. How many times? Shalish palmim. Tara, mesari shayna. So he did the first truma, the chib of kaftalois. So after he did the first truma, which was made up of three kupas, each kupa was machsekes, three son, they would cover it with like blankets. So everything would be covered. The reason they had to cover it was, is because you can't use this money anymore. This is shirayim now. Any money that's going to be used in the future from the second truma and the third truma is going to be from the new money that came. So we have to cover it because otherwise the money's going to get all tzemished. Hashniya v'chipa. Then they did the second truma. When did they do that? Froisa atzeres, 15 days before Shavuos. And then they covered it again. B'kaftalois. Hashlishit, they did the third withdrawal. And then lo'ya mechapa. They didn't have to mechapa it anymore because there's no fourth withdrawal. So there's no problem anymore. Why did they cover it? Because we're afraid that they may, by the second withdrawal, use the remaining money of the first withdrawal. That's shirayim. You're not allowed to use it. The first truma was done for the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. The second truma was done for the people that lived in the surrounding areas of Eretz Yisrael. The third one's the people that lived far away, the people that lived in Medina Sayyam. Now it sounds a little bit, this is a little bit of a misnomer. The first truma was meant for the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, the second truma was meant for the people that live close to Eretz Yisrael, and the third was meant for the people that live far away. It's not really true, because all trumas were for everyone. Every year, no matter where he lived in the world, as long as he shipped and he has proof of postage that he actually sent out his machzis hashekel, he's going to have a chelik in every carbon tzibur. What the Mishnah means is that logistically, the money arrived in phases, and usually the first truma was using the money of the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, the second truma was the people that live close by, and the third truma was using the money of the people that live far away. But not that it was going to work for those people. Every carbon worked for every. These were carbonus sivur. This was a carbon that every single year had a shutfis in ki'ish echad b'leiv echad. Zochti k'mar. So based Rabbi Gamliel, so the Mishnah said Rabbi Gamliel, they used to try to angle, position themselves. So like this, the money that they threw in was the money that was going to be used. So Mar says, why? Like, what's the big deal? Ilu ha'isham k'shnei crime. The Gemara asks the question with a mashal. Let's say there would be two bundles of payroids. V'tar me'achem em al chaveira. Sham le'potas chaveira. I understand. If you have a bunch, you have a whole field worth of tfuah. You have to be mafresh truma. Okay, so mafresh truma, the whole field is potter now. So it's an interesting marshal, but the nimshal is obvious. As long as you gave your machtes shekel, you have a chelik in every carbon. It has to be my shekel. So Mar says you're right. It was a hergish. It doesn't have to be that way. But hanochas ruachi lohem. They made them feel good. They wanted that their money should be used. It's a kibbutz. It's a hergish. It's a nachas ruach. Practically, halachically speaking, doesn't matter if they use your shekel, they don't use your shekel. You have dizel b'chelik. This is not about a cheshbon in the next world. It's a nachas ruach, and they were the nesiim. They called the shots. They had protection. They could do what they want. So this was something that meant something to them. So we said that after you did the truma, they had to cover the leftover money with blankets. Why they have to cover it? Because you can't use that money again, because it's shirayim. What happens if these kaftalois slipped away? Nasukulam shirayim. Now you have a taruvus of machtes hashekel, the new money that came in, plus the shirayim of the old money. So you would think it's a taruvus, he's the cheshbon shishim, and all the halach is a bit of. That's not the way we look at it. Nasu kulam shirayim. All the money becomes shirayim. Tani shlishes, he hoisa hashir shabakulam. The third money that came in, that was the wealthiest money. What does that mean? Shayba is taroy shal zavid akonish shalav. There was a lot of gold. Every person gave a machzah shekel, right? You couldn't give gold and I'm going to give silver, you're going to give nechayshes, because then it's not equal. We looked at the dollar amount. But the Mishnah said earlier that the people that lived far away, so what did they do? They used to exchange the money because somebody had to schlep this, right? Someone was in the was driving this Brinks truck. You know, he had to show up with all this money. So it was a lot of money. So what Chazal allowed him to do was to take all the machzah shekels, which is very heavy and very tedious, and trade it in for gold coins. So you could take it, whatever the exchange rate is, and then you walk off with the gold. So the third truma, which was from the money that came from far away, usually had more gold in it. Why did it have more gold in it? Because it was coming from so far that it was such a tircha to schlep it, so they would schlep it. So you're schlepping from Europe to Eretz Yisrael, so you're going to walk with bags of machtes hashekel. It's crazy. So instead, what you did was, is you traded it in for gold. So there wasn't so much gold in the first one, that you took his machtes hashekel and he brought it. The second one, also not as much. The third one had the most gold, because it was coming from the farthest place. As a result, the people were more incentivized to trade it in. Tani, Tani, Masar, Rishon, L'shem Eretz Yisrael, U'l'shem Kol Yisrael. Shnia, L'shem Krakim HaMukofen, U'l'shem Kol Yisrael. Vashli, L'shem Bavel, U'madai, U'l'shem Medina, Sarachaykis, U'l'shem Kol Yisrael. This is a repeat what the Mishnah said, but it says what we spoke out. That even though the first one was L'shem Bnei Eretz Yisrael, but he had every year in mind, because every single year had a chelik in every single one of the Trumas. Tani, another halacha, not the Minari Shaino. Once you took money from the first Kupa, so okay, now we're going into each individual withdrawal. So there were three withdrawals, but in each withdrawal, three Kupas, each Kupa was Machzik three son. So we have three kupas. Now, the kupas had, they were numbered. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, or Alpha, Beta, Gamma. But it was, they were numbered. Why were they numbered? Because there was a seder. You had to know which is first, which is second, which is third. What was that seder? It's right here. So the Braisa says, not the Rishayna. First he took from the kupa Rishayna. Alpha, Bishayesh, Rishayna. Even though there was leftovers in the Rishayna, not the Manashneya. Then he took from the second one. Not the Manashneya. If there was, if once he took from the second, Alpha, Bishayesh, Bishneya, even though there was still remaining in the Shneya, not the Manashlishes, you took from the third. So you took from Aleph, then you took from Beis, then you took from Gimel. Shoma, Shlishes. Then you finish the third one. Once you finish the third, you go back to the second. Shalom Shini, you finish the second. Chayzav Shini, go back to the first. Shalom Shlashtam, when all three were finished, then Chayzav Shaykel. So then you take the, then you had to go to the second Truma. Meaning you had to take from the new stuff. In other words, three Kupas. The reason there were three Kupas is because there's a methodology. Aleph, Beis, Gimel. It's supposed to be that way. You couldn't take one huge Kupa. No, it's supposed to be Aleph, Beis, Gimel. Take a little from Aleph, a little from Beis, and then Gimel. What if you need more? Go backwards. Finish Gimel, then finish Beis, then finish Aleph. What if you still need more? It's not Freisa Atzeres yet, and you still need more. So then you go back in and you take from any new Schaira. But what you couldn't take one, what you couldn't take was from the Shirayim. That's a Chiddush. So you go back and take from new stuff that came in money that wasn't there when you did the original truma, but you can't take from the leftovers. You can't take from anything that was there at the time I did the original truma. There's a chalois shem shirayim on any monies that was there and that I didn't take, and that money I'll never be able to touch. Rameya says, not true. Chayzel shirayim. After they exhausted Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Alpha, Beta, Gamma, they're done with those three kuplas. If they still needed more money, you can go back and you take the shirayim. Rameya said, Moyelim b'shirayim, shemi yitztarchu lahem b'soif. Rameya held this, an issa me'ilah on the shirayim. What is me'ilah? Me'ilah means you're not let it personally benefit for something that's hakdash. Machsa shekel is hakdash. You can't personally benefit from the machsa shekel. Poshit, the chachamim held, there's no issa me'ilah on shirayim. Because once it's shirayim, you can't use it for karbanos sibur anymore. So it loses its kedusha, there's no shirayim. Rameya held this me'ilah on shirayim. Oh, because this is Rameya l'shitasei. Because Rameya held, it's possible, it's gemalt, that you're going to have to come back to use the shirayim. Because if you exhaust Aleph Beis Gimel and you still need more, and it's not time yet for the second truma, it's not Freis Atzeres yet, you're going to go back for the shirayim. That means the shirayim retained some of its kedusha. If it retained some of its kedusha, so it's for that reason, the halacha is that there's still going to be laws of ne'ilah. Either way, the third parak, these prakim go fast, but the third parak here in Masechet Shkalim is going to end on another epic digression. So Talmud Bavli digresses, Talmud Yerushalmi takes it to a whole nother level. And we're going to digress now, and we're going to mention something that we're all familiar with, albeit in a slightly different girsa maybe, that we're familiar with it. But first, just the hakdama, why are we about to digress? Because there were two things that we mentioned that piqued the Gemara's interest enough to talk about it a little bit. Number one, we mentioned the concept of nikiyus. V'yisim nikiyah me'ashem Yisrael. A person's supposed to be a naki. Naki means people should perceive you in a positive light. Nikiyus means you should be rein, you should be pure. But specifically, we discussed it in the context of being naki be'enei Elikim u'be'enei Adam. We also discussed the midah of Zrizos. Where's Zrizos? Rabbi Gamliel. He was a Zoris. His family, they wanted to be the first one. They wanted their shekels to be the first shekels that was going to be withdrawn. So he mentioned the Midah. These are Midahs and Madregas and Avodas Hashem of Nikias. We mentioned the Madrega of Zrizas. So we talk a little bit about Madregas. The Gemara ends on a very light note. V'chein hoy Rapinchas ben Yor Oimer. Rapinchas ben Yor used to say, there's many Madregas and Avodas Hashem. The first Madrega is Zrizas. A person should be a Zoris. Hineini, right? You have to be a Zaris. What is, if a person's a Zaris, Mevila de Nikias, it's going to bring him to Nikias. Nikias, if you reach the Madrega of Nikias, Mevila de Tahira. Tahira, Mevila de Kedusha. Kedusha, Mevila de Anova, humility. Anova, Mevila de Yerushet. Yerushet, Mevila de Chasidos. Chasidos, Mevila de Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh, Mevila de Trias HaMesem. Meaning, if a person reaches all these madrigas, he can come to Ruach HaKodesh. Once you have Ruach HaKodesh, you can come to the madriga of Trias HaMesim. Trias HaMesim, Mevila de Eliyahu Zachal HaTayv. And if someone that can make Trias HaMesim, or once there'll be Yidden that are going to be Shaykh to Trias HaMesim, that's going to bring Eliyahu Anav. Zok Tumar Zrizos, Mevila de Nikias. Any of those Zrizos brings the day Nikias. The Chesed, the Pasuk says, Vechila mi Kaper. Vechila means Rizos. Kaper means Nikios. Nikios with the Tyre de Xiv, Hipper Allah, Koyen, Vitohero. Tyre will the Kedusha, Tyre brings the Kedusha de Xiv, Vitiaroi, Vikitchai. Kedusha will the Anova de Xiv, Kihoya, my Roman, Isa Shechin Ad, the Kodish, my Marim, the Kodish, Eshkoin, the Ezdako, Shval Ruach. So you see Kedusha, Kodosh, and the Ezdako, Shval Ruach. That's Anova. Anova may be the Yerushet, Anova brings to Yerushim, the Xiv, Ekev Anova, Yerush Hashem. Anova. And then afterwards, Yiras Hashem. Yiras Chet, Mevil Dei Chasidos. Yiras Chet brings the Chasidos, the Chsiv, Chesed Hashem, Mei Oilom, Viad Oilom, Al Yireyav. So, Chesed Hashem, as in Chasidos, is Al Yireyav for someone that has Yiras. Someone that has Yiras, it brings the Chasidos. Chasidos, Mevil Dei Ruach HaKodesh, the Chsiv, Oz Di Barto, Bechazoin, the Chasidecha. The Ruach HaKodesh came the Chasidecha. Ruach HaKodesh, Mevil Dei Tchias HaMesim, the Chsiv, and Asati Ruchi Bochem, the Chiyisem. And then finally, Tchias HaMesim, Mevil Dei Eliyahu, Zachal HaToy, Tchias HaMesim, Mevil Dei Eliyahu HaNovi, the Chsiv, Hine Enoichi Shalach, Kamas Eliyahu HaNovi, Lifnei Boi, Yoim HaShem, HaGodol VeHaNoira. So there's going to be the Yoim HaGodol VeHaNoira, and then Eliyahu HaNovi is going to come. So Tchias HaMesim is going to bring, once the Tchias HaMesim, Eliyahu HaNovi is going to come. Tano, Shem Rameir, Sedov Nei Rameir, Kol Mishkavu Beretz Yisrael, someone that lives in Eretz Yisrael. He's kavu in Eretz Yisrael. Umedaber b'loshen haKodesh. Speaks Lashon Kodesh. You don't find this every day. That there's a mile in speaking Lashon Kodesh. V'oicho, right, we just had the Mishnah, Alpha, Beta, Kama. And there's a mile of speaking Lashon HaKodesh. And so he's oicho peirosa b'tahayra, eats peiros b'tahayra, v'koyra kriyashma b'boiku b'erif, and he says Kriyishma, Babayku Be'erev, Yehem Mavusash Ben Oyel Abbas. This person is going to be a Ben Oyel Abbas. He lives in Eretz Yisrael, you speak Lashon Kodesh, you eat Peres B'Tahayra, and you say Kriyishma, Babayku Be'erev, you're going to be Mavusash Ben Oyel Abbas. Every it is. What does it mean? So truth is, there's many places in Shas where you find, the Gemara says, if someone says, Tila Ludavid, right, Muftach Loishu Ben Oilam Abba, the Gemara says, whoever was present at the time of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's Batira, Baskel came out and said, he's Mezumel Lechai Oilam Abba. At different times in Shas, there was a Baskel that said, oh, he has a Chelik in Oilam Abba. So Tosfos in different places asked the Kasha, I thought, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelik Oilam Abba. So Tosfos says a Yisoy, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelik Oilam Abba, but there's two ways to get there. You can take the long scenic route, which has a few digressions, Gehenim, and different things that the neshama needs to be cleansed before it's ready to enter Olam Haba. And then there's a musik of Muftach Lo Yishu Ben Olam Haba. He goes Yashar, Yashar. He goes straight into Olam Haba without having to deal with anything that maybe is going to be on the way. So Kol Yisrael, eventually, Yesh Lem Chelik Lo Olam Haba. But then there's a concept of Muftach Lo Yishu Ben Olam Haba. So regardless, the perek ended with the Braisa of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. Now this is a famous Braisa. The Sefer Mesilas Yesharim was founded on this braisa. So the classic work of Rav Moshe Chaim Litzato of the Ramchal, Mesilas Yesharim, is based on the braisa of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. However, the girsa in the braisa that Mesilas Yesharim has is very different than the girsa right here. So over here, the girsa is Rizos, then Nikios, then Taira, then Kedusha, then Anova, then Yiras Chet, then Chasidos. Once you have Chasidus, Ruach HaKodesh, Tchias HaMesim, El Yoh Zach HaLatov, in the Ramchal's Gersa, the highest Madrega is not Yir Chasidus, but rather the highest Madrega is Kedusha. The Ramchal has the highest Madrega as being Kedusha. This is also a Gemara in Mesechtes Avodah Zarah. And in the Gemara in Mesechtes Avodah Zarah, there's even a third Gersa, that the highest Madrega is Anova. So there seems to be a Machloikis in the world of Madregas and Avodah Hashem. What's the Spitz? Like, what's the pinnacle? What's the highest Madrega? What's the top of the mountain? The Yerushalmi's gear says it's Chasidus. In the Gemara of the Zara, two gear size, either Chasidus like the Yerushalmi or Anova. And Rav Moshe Chaim Litzato's gear says in his Mesilas Yesharim, it was Kedusha. The Velt says that somebody once asked Rav Itzel of Paterberger, if the Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, had Ruach HaKodesh. So he told him, if he had Ruach HaKodesh, Vesechnesh, or Be'enzach Vesechia, that he fulfilled all the Milas and all the Madregas of Rav Pinchas Be'edar, you have to have in order to come to Ruach HaKodesh, that is the Chahed. But the point is, these are the Madregas that a person can reach. And once he comes to these Madregas, so what happens after that? What's the Matan Schar Betzida? It's Ruach HaKodesh. And a person can even come to the Madrega of Tchias HaMesim. Now, what are these three things? What is Anova? What's Chasidus? And what's Kedusha? So we know what Anova is. Anova is humility, right? Anova is to be as humble as possible. A chassid, Mesilas Yesharim explains in great detail, a chassid is someone that does lefnim mishur hadin. So he says a chassid is to mitzvah saseh what a pirish is to mitzvah lo saseh. What's a pirish? A pirish is someone that he distances himself from Olam Hazeh. So he doesn't only not eat nevelos and treifas, he doesn't eat meat, he doesn't drink wine, right? He doesn't want to enjoy Olam Hazeh. He's a pirish, you're allowed to, but he's kedoshim to you. He's someone that distances himself as much as possible from all the tanugam of Olam Hazeh. But he's operating in the world of Sur Meira. He's operating in, not only am I not going to do things that are blatantly forbidden, but I'm not even going to do things that theoretically I'm allowed to do. I'm a pirish. A chassid is the same guy, but he doesn't do it in the world of lois nasei, does it in the world of asei. I mean, I'm not only going to put on tefillin, but I'm going to be mahadir in mitzvah tefillin. I'm not only going to wear tzitzis, I'm going to be mahadir in mitzvah tefillin. I'm not going to learn Torah, but I'm... So he does exactly what the pirish does, but whereas the pirish is operating in the sur meira, he's operating in the asei type. What's kedusha? So kedusha, the Ramchal says, is fascinating. He says that in avodas Hashem, a person's job is to distance himself as much as possible from Olam Hazeh. Right, you don't fresh and you don't this and you don't that and you don't care about yourself, Navardic, every all the milas and the madrigas, garnish, tzveimol garnish. That's what it is. It's like this spitz madriga of richok and distance from Olam Hazeh and bittle from zich, been garnished, Olam Hazeh is worthless. Right? It's a tremendous madriga where you become a shtick neshama. All you are is neshama. You're made up of a guf and a neshama, and all you think about is your nefesh. You don't care about the chelik of Bahami. It means absolutely nothing. What's Kedusha? Kedusha is 180. Kedusha goes back to the beginning. Efaintam for anfan. Kedusha is a chabak guf, but the guf becomes Kaddish. And the guf becomes so Kaddish that I eat. No, I eat. I don't run away from food. I eat. But when I eat, kayhanim oichlim ubailim eschaprim. That's what it becomes. I sleep. I go to sleep at night. Like Rashi says in Parshas Vayetze, these are all the examples that Mesillas Yesharim gives. Not my examples. These are Mesillas Yesharim's examples. He says, because the person becomes such a Kaddish that his sleeping is Kedusha, his eating is Kedusha, you can reach such a Madrega, you can achieve such a level of greatness where your Olam Hazeh, all of a sudden it becomes Olam Hazeh, or your Gashmias becomes Ruchnias. Either way, whether the Spitz Madrega is Chassidus, whether it's Anava, whether it's Kedusha, seems to be a machlekes amongst the Balei Musar. I mean, these are Gemaras and Shas, but Al Kaponim, either way, the once a person comes to that point, he comes Lidei Ruach HaKodesh, Mevila Lidei Tchias HaMesim, and when the Tchias HaMesim, then we'll be Zoicha Taliyo, Zoicha Latoy.